Most of the time, people try to avoid talking about what happened. Even when their conversational acrobatics fail and the subject arises anyway, they stay within the very narrow subject of warning signs. Specifically, warning signs that I somehow missed. I get it, I really do. If there were warning signs and I missed them, then that makes this my fault. It's a lot easier to blame me than it is to blame a dead man. If there were warning signs, that means that this whole situation was entirely preventable, and that means people can stop it happening to them. All they have to do is be a little more vigilant than I was. Poor, foolish Olivia, so blind to what was happening right there in her own husband's mind.
Tom rang the bell at the boarding house on the main street. It was the domain of Mrs. Mewett, who set upon him.
Your letter said you're a bachelor, so I'll thank you for remembering this is a Christian establishment and there'll be no taking of alcohol or tobacco on the premises.
Tom was about to thank her for the key in her hand, but she clutched it fiercely as she continued.
None of your foreign habits here. I know what's what. I change the sheets when you leave and I don't expect to have to scrub them if you know what I mean. The doors are locked at 10. Breakfast is served at 6 a.m. and if you're not there, you can go hungry.
On Thursday, the 25th of April, 1616, William Shakespeare's mortal remains were laid to rest. It was a bright, warm spring afternoon in Stratford-upon-Avon. A few high clouds provided an ironically cheerful counterpoint to the melancholy mood below. I caught a train across the Sydney Harbour Bridge early one morning in 2013 to run a half marathon. It was chilly, September, and the sky was still a murky grey opal. The carriage buzzed with runners, talking the usual bollocks, carb loading, perfect splits, personal bests. Runners can be very annoying en masse.
Did you attend the ball last night, Mr. Darcy?
She was looking at him as if they shared a secret, and it reminded Darcy of how he and Elizabeth had shared a private joke last night, only that had been much more pleasant.
Yes, I did, Miss Bingley. It was quite enjoyable. It was Georgiana's first ball, and she was able to dance with the family. It was pleasant to see her enjoying herself.
I do wish I could have been there to help her. It is so important to have another woman with you at your first ball.
A Mexican food establishment in King's Cross, inner city, Sydney. Approximately 7 p.m. Cast of characters. Me, exhibiting what Germans called Weltschmerz or world weariness. Mark, a nearby man. Another man sitting with Mark, whose name I have forgotten, and to whom I will therefore refer as Mark II. A burrito. A big, proper, carby, cheesy burrito, thick as my arm and wrapped in foil. The high point of my night. Brief pause. Bite. Ill-timed eye contact.
I'd let you wrap your mouth round my burrito, says one of the marks.
Monsters were easy, at least. She'd learned how to deal with monsters.
She picked up the poker from the nursery fender and went down the back stairs with Twyla following her. The Gaiters were having a dinner party. Muffled voices came from the direction of the dining room. Then, as she crept past, a door opened and yellow light spilled out, and a voice said,
"Egad, there's a girl in a nightshirt out here with a poker!"
She saw figures silhouetted in the light and made out the worried face of Mrs. Gaiter.
Susan, what are you doing?
Susan looked at the poker and then back at the woman. Twyla said she's afraid of a monster in the cellar, Mrs. Gaiter.
And you're going to attack it with a poker, eh?
Said one of the guests. Yes, said Susan, simply.